nothing I can do about it. Roll up. Hi, and welcome to Play Something Sweet, where we sweeten the music with a little cultural history. Each week we highlight a different genre of music, and this week we are diving into Motown and the cultural significance of Hitsville, USA. I'm your host, Patty Compton, and that first song we heard was You Keep Me Hanging On by The Supremes. So today we're going to discuss the music machine in Detroit that flourished amid the backdrop of riots and protests. During the turbulent times of the civil rights movement in the United States, Motown thrived, providing the soundtrack for the era of unrest. So we're in Detroit, right? We're in the Motor City, hence the name Motown, in the 1960s. We're post the Beatles. This is 1963, and we're in the era of the civil rights movement. So Berry Gordy, who was the first African-American successful record label founder, he had worked in the auto industry in Detroit. He had worked on an assembly line in the Ford factory in the 1950s. And he has this brilliant idea that he's going to apply this efficient assembly line techniques to the entertainment industry. And he has all black artists, and he sets up this record company in Detroit. So it's important to note that 1963 is like the beginning of this civil rights era, this feeling of unrest. Up until 1963, we're kind of still in the 1950s, right? There's still segregation. There's still, the race records on different radio stations. So this was really the beginning of this, what we would call the civil rights era. And so if we go back a little bit, in 1954, there's that Supreme Court case that was just not being enacted in the South. I actually have a personal story about that. My mom graduated high school in 1963 in South Carolina and went to completely segregated schools. Like, South Carolina wasn't even thinking about integrating the schools 10 years after the Brown versus the Board of Education. And there was also that Birmingham church bombing in 1963 that killed four young girls. So several incidents of violence were happening. Anger was kicking up. But the music that became the soundtrack to the civil rights era, the era of 1963 to late 1960s, 1968, 1969, was this Motown, this smooth pop music that Motown was producing out of Detroit. So let's listen to a couple more tracks of Motown.
Birds in the trees. one man can play. Well, I guess you've seen what can make me feel this way, my girl. Talking about my girl. I've got sunshine on a cloudy day with my girl. I've even got the month of May with my girl. Talking about my
So that was My Girl by The Temptations and Baby Love by The Supremes. The Civil Rights Act was passed during this era, 1964, which legally ended segregation and the separate but equal Jim Crow laws. And the Voting Rights Act was passed in 65. So this is the middle of the Civil Rights era. The country was going through massive change during this period. It was coming out of the 1950s and into this tumultuous era of the 1960s with people demanding change in the country. This is the era of Motown. The main Motown years were from 1963 until 68. That was when they had their biggest hits and they owned the charts. So Motown was set up in this house in downtown Detroit where this assembly line production happened. It was called Hitsville, USA. That was literally like written in big letters on the front of the house. Motown delivered the sound of integration. The music was integration exemplified through music. And Berry Gordy was using these assembly line techniques. Most of the artists on the label were local teens that he noticed and found from the housing projects in Detroit. Diana Ross was a local girl that just lived in Detroit in the Supremes. And these artists, they were groomed, they were polished. The music was deliberately created for a mass audience. Motown was integrating black artists into the mainstream. Up until this time, you know, everything was segregated, especially in the South. We're coming out of those Chitlin Circuit days and race records, and mainstream radio stations were not playing pop hits by black artists, and black artists were not regularly gracing everyone's TV screens on the Ed Sullivan Show until Motown. And once Motown hit, you know, Ed Sullivan had all of the Motown artists on, and pop radio was playing all of these records. So let's listen to a few more of these Motown, successful Motown records.
Thank you.
Well, you are listening to Play Something Sweet on KXFM, and that was a collection of Motown music, Motown songs, Money by Barrett Strong, Ain't Too Proud to Beg by The Temptations, and Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. So this finishing school at Motown was no joke. There were songwriters writing the songs, musicians writing the music, choreographing the music. There were hairdressers. There was wardrobe where all their clothes were designed and made. There were dance choreographers. There was a finishing school to teach the artists how to walk properly, how to sit properly, how to talk beautifully, how to eat properly, how to wave their hand properly. Motown turned out a beautiful product, poised, elegant. They were dressed beautifully. Their manners were impeccable. Barry Gordy wanted his artists to be able to sit with kings and have dinner and be just as elegant and poised as they were, and he was successful. These Motown artists were probably more, you know, elegant than most Americans during this period and continue to today. So Barry Gordy did this deliberately. He wanted this music and these artists to be accepted by a wide mainstream audience. He created this allure of Motown. Motown artists were perfect and poised and beautiful, and there was like an aura around Motown. And this was a conscious decision during the civil rights era by Barry Gordy. So let's listen to a few more songs from Motown.
like someone else controls your very soul. I fool myself long as I can feel the presence of another man. It's there when you speak my name. It's just not the same. Of a face I see, I'm hurt, downhearted, and worried, girl, 'cause that face doesn't belong to me. Oh, it's all over your face, the one's taking my place. Ooh, ooh, baby, I'm losing you. You try hard to hide the emptiness inside. Ooh, I can tell I'm losing you.
That was Where Did Our Love Go by The Supremes, I Can't Help Myself by The Four Tops, and I'm Losing You by The Temptations. So Motown was extremely successful. I don't know if you noticed, you might have, but this music was deliberately not blues. This was pop music. It was gospel-influenced pop music, and that was deliberate to not play blues. They wanted this to be reach an audience that was wide. All of the songs are almost the exact same length. They're all under 3 minutes. They're designed to be perfect for pop radio. And they're all a little bit similar to me. They're all about boyfriend-girlfriend troubles. Very light, decidedly not political. During this era of this, you know, political era, this music was decidedly pop. It was not political. Yet it was subtly political in nature, right? You know, Berry Gordy was integrating the airwaves, the TV, the magazines, whether people recognized it or not. Motown was the intentional soundtrack to the civil rights era. These were transformational years for America, and Berry Gordy and Motown influenced the country by presenting perfectly polished black artists singing perfect pop music and influencing people's perceptions during a pivotal time. He created an aura of we are all the same. I consider this very important civil rights work. This was very important civil rights work, whether people realized that integration was happening right before their eyes, whether they really realized it or not. So let's listen to a little bit more of this perfect pop music from the 1960s. And here we go.
Chase the tracks of my tears. Too long.
Okay, you're listening to Play Something Sweet on KXFM. I am Patty Compton, and we are talking about Motown today. And that was three tracks. The first one was The Tracks of My Tears by Smokey Robinson, and a couple by Stevie Wonder for Once in My Life, and Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Yours. So let's talk about what else was going on during this time period. So all those cars that were built in Detroit required roads and freeways to be built across America. So public works projects built these freeways that connected every inch of the United States starting in the 1950s. The problem was that the cities in America had already been developed in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and they'd already been built and developed, and there was no room. There was no open space for freeway on and off ramps. But public policy required every city in America to bulldoze parts of their cities to allow for these freeway ramps. And most of the time, of course, the locations were chosen for these on and off ramps. They were vibrant black communities that had previously been thriving, but they lacked political power. So, that's how things work, right? If there's no political power, then you get the freeway ramps over your house. You'll notice sometimes there's freeway ramps just going straight on top of houses. It's pretty likely the house was there first, and the freeway was built like directly over their house. In several cities, there's a great example in New Orleans of this. I shouldn't say great. There's a pretty drastic, devastating example of this in New Orleans, where there's a freeway just built right through the previously vibrant black community. And the same thing happened in Detroit. Detroit had freeway ramps built straight through the African American neighborhoods. Just took out main streets and put freeway ramps in. The freeways were great, right? They're positively impacted most Americans and didn't cause any harm to most Americans. But there were several black communities in major cities in the United States that were just demolished with the building of these freeways. So Detroit did have, an impact in that way as well. So let's keep going here. Let's listen to a few more of these wonderful pop songs that were the soundtrack to the civil rights movement in the mid-1960s. Here's some more Motown.
Took one look at you, and it was plain to see you were my destiny.
With arms open wide, I threw away my pride. I'll sacrifice for you, dedicate my life to you. I'll go where you lead.
Come on, baby.
Always there in time of need.
No, no looking back for us. We got love.
I hope you're enjoying this Motown music. That was Your All I Need to Get by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. I Want You Back by the Jackson 5. And I Second That Emotion by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. So this later part of the 1960s became a period of rioting, right? The Martin Luther King ethos of passive resistance was sort of coming to an end with his assassination in 1968. In 1967, riots started happening, including a huge riot in Detroit in 1967 during the long, hot summer. So 1967 wasn't just the summer of love. It was also the long, hot summer where there were riots all over the country, and the riot in Detroit lasted for 5 days. There were 43 deaths and over 7,000 arrests. So this is what was happening right outside the doors of the Motown record label. And this had been a time of hope during the mid-1960s. 1963 to 1968 specifically, the Motown years, was a time of hope and aspirations, especially for African Americans. There was hope that change was actually gonna come. Part of Berry Gordy's ambition was to provide inspiration to young Black Americans to live up to the ideal of Motown, right, and realize Martin Luther King's dream. And these riots in the late 60s in 1967, 68 were partly in response to a feeling that not enough had been achieved through civil rights legislation, that it had not gone far enough. And Motown professionally recorded that famous 1963 I Have a Dream speech and released it as a record. So this is why we have that speech that's, you know, it's so beautifully recorded is because Motown professionally recorded it and released it as a single, released it as a record. So we're not going to listen to that, but let's hear 1 minute of Martin Luther King's last speech in 1968 before he was assassinated. And then let's hear a little bit of Marvin Gaye. And this is the later Motown years where Marvin Gaye started kind of breaking away from the Motown assembly line and started writing his own music and expressing his own points of view. So here we go.
But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
I don't mind.
Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. Yeah. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I dig it.
Stop right on.
What's up, man? What's your name?
What's
everything? What's everything?
Get down the
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some loving here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality.
Sister,
talk to me,
sister,
so you can see,
sister,
oh, what's going on.
Right on.
Okay, so, you know, the point that we're making at this in the show is that Motown was a huge accomplishment. It was the soundtrack to the civil rights movement. Berry Gordy achieved something remarkable. Motown influenced society and contributed to the civil rights movement of the 1960s and to Black Americans gaining acceptance in mainstream society. Motown records were not race records played on only Black radio stations. Motown records were pop records played on mainstream radio. Everybody had these records in their house. Everyone saw these artists on TV. Motown created an image and an aura. Everyone loved Motown. It was strategic and intentional, and it was truly an amazing accomplishment. Motown is not just wonderful pop music, but Motown is important. So thanks for listening. I will see you next week on Play Something Sweet, and we will end with the Jackson 5, and I'll be there.
KXRN LP
Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach.
Member-supported
KXFM
on 104.7.
KXFMradio.org.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying listening audiences that any opinions expressed on our shows are not representative of Laguna Radio, Inc., its management, or its board of directors.
Hey there, it's Open Water. To start things off tonight, let's dive on into something called Smile Machine. It is the solo project of Jordan Blakely, who has done some time in the bands Stove, Menica, and also in Bartiz Strange's band, and that has got to be a tall order. Second single from the forthcoming debut EP, Bye For Now, is a track called Pretty Today. It's going to lead off with tonight. That EP, by the way, is going to be out July 16th on Exploding in Sound. If you are keeping track, that is next Friday, next week. And Jordan says of this one, quote, "This song is about wanting to create your own identity and break free from unhealthy patterns or behaviors, creating your own sense of self and not feeling stuck or enmeshed in your environment, feeling confused about who you truly are and want to be, like maybe you never really knew yourself and are trying to figure it out all over again." Let's hear it. Here's Smile Machine on Open Water, KXFM.